2 years ago, The Blind Side told the story of a big black kid who moved from school to school and home to home until he found love and a purpose in life with an adoptive family. Sandra Bullock won an Academy Award for playing the adoptive mom. Now the young man at the heart of the film tells his own story in a new book, I Beat the Odds, From Homelessness to the Blind Side and Beyond. And yes, Michael Orr describes his success in football, but focuses on growing up in a big family with a crack-addicted mom in the projects of Memphis, running from child services and foster care, and his determination since he was 7 years old to find a way out. We'd like to hear from foster children and social workers. What does it take to beat the odds? 800-989-8255 is the phone number. Email talk at npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Michael Orr now plays offensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens of the National Football League and joins us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And you said from the age of 7 you were determined to make something of your life. How did you reach that determination at such a young age?
At 7, I had already been through so much, a lot of struggles then. At 6, we had already lived in the Salvation Army and just dealt with so many things already, from the time I was 3 to 4, 5, 6 years old. At 7, 1993, I was, watching Michael Jordan play the Phoenix Suns in the, NBA Finals. And, I just started, really, following Michael Jordan and just grew to love him. And I loved his determination and, his competitive spirit and, everything, he did. He had a drive deep inside, that he was going to be the best at whatever he did. And, I took, some of that from him and, obviously, I'm not where he is, but I took bits and pieces from him. I put it in me, and I didn't want to, I didn't need the the wealthy family or anything of that nature for me to make it, because I was going to make it on my own.
It's interesting. Obviously, your life as a child was chaotic, to say the least. There were times when your mom would she never showed her addiction to you, but she would go off for days at a time, lock the door, and kids would have to fend for themselves. Yet a loving woman, you say, a big family with kids who loved each other, and that is really what comes across in the early chapters of your book.
Yeah, it does. My mom, she was a product of her environment, and she couldn't help herself, but she did love us and everything, but we did have to fend for ourselves a lot of the times, and that's what made me into the man I am today. And I don't take anything for granted, and I appreciate everything, and it's unbelievable. It'll always be unbelievable for me to be here, and I'll never wake up and say wow, I supposed to be here, because I don't. The odds, zero out of a billion, it doesn't happen at all. And the things that I've seen. So,
In the book in which you wrote with Don Yeager, you describe the odds of making it out of your situation as almost prohibitive.
Yeah, it was. Me and Don, we did so much research, and we found numbers that were unbelievable. And I was supposed to have been a part of it, but I had a strong will that I wasn't going to be a part of that cycle of growing up, going to school, high school, dropping out of school and not graduating, and joining gangs and doing the violence. I wasn't going to be a part of that. So I just distanced myself from those crowds, which was hard for me to do when all my friends are dealing, doing everything you can imagine. So I just had to distance myself in order for me to get to this point.
And some of your brothers found it hard too.
Do what now?
Some of your brothers found it hard to resist that world as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have, so many brothers where, people are going to get into trouble, and, things happen. That's the nature of, life.
Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. We want to hear from other people who went through difficult circumstances and as kids and made it through foster care. 800-989-8255. Email us talk at npr.org. Casey's on the line calling us from Columbus.
Hi.
Hi, Casey. Go ahead, please.
I was adopted at a very young age, about the age of 2, by a family member. And my brother and I did go through the foster system briefly. My brother was actually in the foster system a lot longer than I was, and I still, at 33 years old, don't know exactly what kind of abuse took place with my brother, but I know that there was. My brother is now incarcerated and has been for a good majority of my adolescence into adulthood. And, you know, I think, fortunate to come out, and I look at my biological family, which I've always had ties with. On my dad's side, it was my aunt, my dad's sister, that adopted me. Mm-hmm. So I always knew my biological dad, and it wasn't until I got into adulthood that I met my biological mother, and was just very grateful that adults stepped in and made those decisions that they made. But it was, you know, there's still a lot of confusion to this day. I think people just kind of want to see the situation for what it is today and not look back in the past. And sometimes it's a little difficult to, you know, kind of look back and wonder, you know, what happened to my brother and why was he put in that type of situation? And I was sort of rescued from it. So I deal with, I think, a lot of guilt that I don't think I could have changed anything, but as an adult and a mother of three children now, I certainly, you know, have those feelings that I have as a mother to my children, just wishing that, you know, things would have been different for my brother, and almost wanting to fix it. And so that's what I struggle with today is, you know, was there anything that, you know, someone overlooked that, you know, they did for me, but they didn't do for him. So
it's interesting, Casey. You raised the point about, well, a lot of things you'd rather forget. Michael Orr, you write at one point in the book that you were told that the thing you were really good at was forgetting. Obviously, to write this book, you had to go back and remind yourself of a lot of things.
Yeah, I did. You know, a lot of, you know, different things came back up, and you know, I went to see the, you know, social worker who was dealing with us at the time, and you know, as I was going up to the building, you know, I started to, you know, so many things started. It was like yesterday going up to the building, and you know, but you know, me being you know, adopted by, you know, the white family, and coming from where I came from, they showed and taught me so much. So, you know, I understood what was going on. I understood that, you know, at that time, yeah, we thought, you know, Bobby Spivey, the social, the caseworker, her name, you know, she was trying to help us, and she wanted the best for us. And we thought she was a, you know, a terrible, you know, bounty hunter, something like that, trying to just, you know, always trying to separate us. And, you know, we talked and we sat down and, you know, we became good friends. And, you know, that's all, you know, these kids want is, you know, to be, know, have a positive role model in their life, and a mentor, and somebody to give them confidence and tell them that, you know, they can do it. And when I received those things, the sky's the limit for, you know, whoever wants, you know, they start to hear these things. And not everybody, you know, in the inner city or in foster care is bad, you know. And that's what I want to, that's what I'm trying to, you know, send a message out to, saying that, you know, if you, they want to, you know, have a, they want to be reached out and, you know, talked to and loved.
We're talking with Michael Orr about his new book, I Beat the Odds. As he mentioned, there was one woman who frightened him when he was growing up, his caseworker. Years later, he went back to meet her. You can read more about Michael Orr's reunion with the woman he once called a bounty hunter in our excerpt at our website. That's at npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. And Michael Orr, you say in the book that after watching the movie The Blind Side, you had to deal with some wounded pride. The film made your character a little bit more vulnerable than might really have been the case. There's a scene that I think a lot of people who've seen The Blind Side will remember, where Leanne Toohey, played by Sandra Bullock, offers Michael his own bed.
It's mine.
Yes, sir. What?
Never had one before.
What, a room to yourself?
A bed.
And Michael, that's not exactly right, is it?
Well, yeah, that actually, it went, you know, along those lines, because, you know, I grew up with so many people in one house, and we were staying in a, you know, the house had one room, you know, a bathroom, a kitchen, and a living room, and you had, you know, 11 people in that one house. We had, you know, beds actually in the living room. So, you know, I never really had my own room or bed or anything like that. So to, you know, to have my own space, it was, you know, it was kind of a, you know, being free. And, you know, that was something they gave me. And, you know, I really, you know, I felt like, you know, a big, you know, a weight lifted off my shoulders. And, you know, I could, you know, have my own space. And it was nice.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Caressa. Caressa calling from Cincinnati.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually a counselor with foster kids, and I was thinking what makes a good fit for these families and these kids, and I was listening to Michael and thought, well, for one, the child's going to have to be able to have that desire to rise above their circumstances, but combined with that, it really takes a foster family who can not only love the kid, but respect the family that the child has come from, because that family is never going to be far from that child's mind, no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, you have to understand, you know, where these kids have been. And, you know, not all of them, you know, have been in a, you know, such a terrible, you know, situation. And, you know, most of the foster, you know, people or the social workers, they think that, oh, this kid is bad. It's automatic, you know, they automatically give him a bad name. And, you know, it's not, you know, the case in a lot of these kids' lives. And a lot of them want to do right. And a lot of them want to do, you know, what's right and live on the right path.
Absolutely. A lot of times I'll see foster families who are willing to give everything to kids, and they can't really understand, like, why the child is not responding with overwhelming gratitude and stuff, and it's just that piece that, well, this still isn't that family that they want. It's things.
Caressa, thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
We know how the Tuohys are doing. They've written a book of their own, but, Michael, I wonder, how are your brothers and sisters, how's your mom doing?
You know, my mom, you know, she's doing the best she can. You know, she's, you know, working hard to, you know, get back on the right foot. And, you know, we don't have the bun like we once had. And, you know, hopefully in the future, you know, we can get that back, you know, as she, you know, as time passes and, you know, she progressing, you know, the things that she's doing.
Mm-hmm. And your siblings, your brothers and sisters?
You know, I talked to them, you know, a couple of my brothers, they came to the, you know, football games and, you know, talk to them regularly. They're living their lives, and everybody's doing well.
And you're looking forward to progressing in your career and giving back, not just through this book, but also talking with, well, I know you get tons of letters from other kids who've been in foster care.
Yeah, that's really the reason, you know, I didn't really want to do the book. You know, the blind side was out there. You know, everybody thought they knew everything about me, and I was just, I really didn't want to be, I'm a football player first, and I really didn't want to be, you know, bothered with it. And, you know, they kept telling me to write a book, and, you know, you can help so many people. I started to get so many letters, you know, hundreds and thousands of letters, and I would read them, and, you know, the letters were that I was changing people's lives, and they were telling me, you know, how inspirational I was and such a role model. So, you know, I said, wow, you know, I might as well go ahead and write the book. You know, I changed so many people's lives, and, you know, that's really one of the reasons I did it.
Well, Michael Orr, thanks very much for your time today, and we wish you the best possible luck, except when you play the Giants.
No problem. Thank you, and good luck. Eli Manning, he's an Ole Miss guy, so I pull for him. So
Michael Orr is an offensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. His new book, I Beat the Odds, From Homelessness to the Blind Side and Beyond. Tomorrow, how we age. Geriatric psychiatrist Mark Agronin will talk about that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.